On CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Desiree. I am joined here with my co-host Veronica Bertiz, and Laura is back, our sound engineer. And we are so excited to have Debbie Resurrection on our show today. Debbie has over 20 years of experience working in community development locally and abroad, which in turn brought her to teach at Dawson College as a faculty member in community recreation and leadership training, which is a three-year technical program that she also completed at Dawson in the year 2000. She helps students or prepares students to work in the field of leisure, recreation, and community development. Debbie has also completed her Bachelor's of Arts degree in Human Relations from Concordia University alongside a certificate in Family Life Education. Debbie is very active and has had leadership roles within the Filipino community at FAMAS, the Filipino Organization of Concordia University of Students, which is also known as FOCUS, and seeks to bridge the two organizations through collaborative partnered events. Debbie is a big advocate of nature and believes nature as a mentor. She draws inspiration from Mama Earth and enjoys being in the outdoors. She believes in well-being for all and sustainable practices so we can live in harmony with the earth, mind, body, and spirit. When Debbie is not involved in community events or school projects, you can find her at her cottage by the Eastern Townships, most likely journaling, reading, praying, meditating, and taking time to play. Oh my God, Auntie Debbie, I am so happy to have you here. So for fun fact, I've known Auntie Debbie for my whole life, I think. And I remember seeing you when I was younger. I think it was at Filipino school. And I went for like a small amount of time, and you know, like quiet. I was always quiet and didn't really say much. And I remember going to Filipino school. I lived in Broussard and I went to Cotonej, and I would see other Filipinos, and you always stood out to me because you were always, you know, outspoken. And again, to see a Filipino and older that was outspoken, I remember, like, even now, 40 decades later, I was like, oh. And then it was like when I was younger, and then I would see you in the park. I remember when I was a teenager, and I think your mom was running that year. Yeah. And then I remember seeing you like talking to everyone. And I was like, oh, she's doing that? She can like talk like that? And I like getting goosebumps just like thinking back to those times, and now understanding why I felt that, right? But I just, again, I'm just so happy to have you here, and thank you for being you. So please, like, I know I did a big introduction to you, but please tell our listeners more about who is Debbie.
Oh my goodness, who is she? Like, honestly, just to, you know, go over that little bio, it's exactly, I think, what you shared. I've always kind of been an outspoken person. I mean, I stand tall, 4'11", and I always have to feel proud or kind of using my voice as not just as an advocate or just to resonate with people, but to also have the power of my voice, because that's what I had control over, because I was so short, you know. It always kind of like didn't want to get lost in the shuffle, if that's what I can get at. And so it really drove me to community, drove me to, you know, what my mom has modeled over the years. Like you mentioned, when she ran for FAMAS president, it was the rallying, the campaigning, the getting to know your neighbor and what is around you. I grew up as a single child, and so I guess I craved that community. And because back then, and of course this is dating me, this is, I was, you know, born and raised in the 70s. And so the Filipino community at that time was very manageable, meaning that everyone was able to congregate every weekend and either share food or play mahjong, and the kids would have no choice but to play outside because we lived in apartments. So there was no space for us, right? And so we had to be in the backyard or at the schoolyard. And these are like lifelong friends that I have today, the Barcada, right? And we even call ourselves the Dupuy Gang. So shout out to the Dupuy Gang out there, because we could identify with ourselves, right? We knew that our parents were working hard and on the weekend would look forward to it. So I think that's kind of what I always craved for or wanted to be part of, was a community. And so I look at what I went through in terms of just even the struggle and going to St. Luke, a French school, where all my other friends went to English. Not to say that I couldn't go to an English school at that time, but my mom thought it would be a better choice and didn't really do well. And then got to Dawson and found this program, Community Recreation Leadership Training. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so up my alley. And everyone who just knows me coming from that program was just like, I think this program was made for you. And the skills and the knowledge and the teachers and mentors that I had, or even the friendships that I've built along the way, you come to this common, you know, reality that we can make that change. We can make that difference. And so that's kind of what I've been doing really all my life, right? From childhood to being a part of a community, and then growing up, realizing how important community is, and then how to build it and how to sustain it. Because unfortunately, sometimes with organizations, or we're people, like, you know, we're human, we all don't always have the same vision. And I think that's kind of where I feel now at my age, where it's very strategic, where I have the older generation to be like, come on, Tito, like, this was for the youth. And where are the youth? And so try to get back involved with FAMAS or all these other organizations, and then having a close relationship with the younger, you know, up and rising leaders, you know, in really looking at them like, listen, don't give up on the elderly. You know what I mean? They are set in their ways, but you have to remember what they've built along the way being here for us. And they might have not always done the greatest job, but they still worked hard at it. And I think that's kind of where I'm realizing that, I'm not saying that my way or any way that's going to come up the way is the best way, but it's just more or less like, how can we, I guess, counterbalance each other? Because the reason why we have conflict is because of the lack of communication or understanding. And I think that's kind of what led me to family life education, because I saw a lot of my Filipino friends who weren't born here, who didn't feel Canadian, and then those who are Canadian didn't feel Filipino. And it was always like, you know, how do you identify yourself from that, right? Like, the parents would be like, you should be happy that I brought you here. And then, you know, like, well, you uprooted my life. And so it was always the breakdown of, you know, the family unit that kind of just, you know, made me realize there's so much to learn from community and from family. And I guess that's what I try to do every day with my students. It's what I try to do every day with my own personal family and my friends who know me well. Like Des mentioned, it's pretty known that if you hear my name, and it's not to, like, you know, to my own horn, most people will be like, oh yeah, she's totally community girl. Like, she's always been in FAMASH. She's always been involved with Filipino community. She's always involved in something, supporting someone or some organization. And I think that's kind of an identity that I value very much, because sometimes, you know, your integrity and your reputation is what you really have to stand for after all these years. And so, you know, I stand tall on my 4'11", and I'll continue to just being who I am and preaching whatever is meant to be heard. You know, not saying that it's right or wrong, but if it has meaning and value, then respect whatever you take from it, and in hope that we can have a good dialogue. You know, and then from there, I think a lot can happen. So I don't know if I answered your question. I know I like to go off a little off on my 10th.
I love that. And I also just want to add, because we have a lot of the same friends, you're also like, you have how many godchildren?
23.
I had to share that because not only is Debbie the community organizer, is identified and known in so many circles as being the community person, she is also the ninang. Like, she is the godmother. You're the godmother.
I don't know why they ask. And I say yes, because I really, honestly, that you mentioned this, the goal is to have a better future for the younger generation. I always look at, I would love the kids to have the kind of childhood I had, you know, because it was safe, it was fun, it was play. And like I said, these are lifelong friendships that I've had forever. And they're my ride and die, you know what I mean? Like, and so I love, you know, being the ninang, you know, and by default, even their siblings will call me ninang, even though I'm not their godmother. And it's like from the youngest is, I think, 3 now, because and then my eldest godchild is, I think, 26. And I don't have children of my own, so I tell them, you better take care of me, because I change your diapers, so I pull us your oog, so you better do something, better take care of you. And I think that's probably why I also am in community development, because I want to build a future of where we can, you know, grow old all together.
That's so beautiful. Hi, everyone. This is Veronica speaking. And at some point when you were speaking, I think you married the Ate Debbie. I know that when I meet Filipinos and I speak English, I tend to let go of the Ate and the Kuya. But I was born in the Philippines, so it was deeply ingrained in me to call everyone Ate and Kuya.
Of course.
And then Po and Opo. And when you were talking, I just had a lot of things to talk about. But the one that really that hit me a bit was, I stand tall 4'11". And this was part of the poetry that I submitted for Andy, who is one of our kapwa. And I said, what can I do? I'm only 5'2", you know? Like, but then you say, you just keep on going and try to empower people. You use exactly the same words to try and make people feel grounded of who they are. And I see you do that. So, and the way that Des talks to you, talks about you, and that's, I mean, France is not here, but that's basically what I felt with France when she ran for a campaign as well. I'm like, oh, so there are political people. So off the record earlier, I was telling you that I bring in a lot of the politics. And seeing that you are very much involved in the community, it intergenerational as well, right? So you're kind of like the weaver, the bridge between the elder generation and then the younger generation. And I also went into that waves of, you know, the older generation, they don't listen to us, you know, the titos and the titas still say problematic things like, what do I do? And then sometimes you turn your back, but then I'm like, no, but we need this type of, like, essentially, if you turn your back, you're not having any sort of communication and connection with them. But that's not how community work works, right? So it's really nice to hear that you're, in a sense, kind of like bridging the two communities together and trying to be united, because that's essentially what we need. Like, we have been pitted against each other, even the youth and the older generation. And you're there and be like, no. Let's go sit down. There's a lot of conflict because we don't know how to communicate. You know, we have a lot of like, you should know, like, we've been together for so long, right? And I also wanted to address that. But what I actually wanted to ask you is, you know, you have been around with a lot of older older generation, but also you're the one who's molding the future leaders of our community. So what did they teach you?
Oh, wow. I think first things first is humility and compassion and understanding. And of course, love. I'm a big believer in divine love. However you receive it and however you share it, it's reciprocated. And open-mindedness, that's the biggest thing that anyone really teaches me, you know? And I think that's kind of the opportunity to look at lessons in life rather than heartache, because they do happen. You know, troubles happen, ups and down happen, but we know at the end of, you know, at the end of it, there's always the sun will rise and the sun will set. And with everything that's kind of been going on in this world, it's very hard to maintain a sense of reality or hope. But I think it goes back to what I've been ingrained in. I was always kind of like, yeah, champion, come on, we can do this. And like, everybody just be looking at you like, oh my gosh, there she is again, bouncing off the wall. And then, but I didn't care. It's not that I didn't care what they didn't think of me, but I didn't care that they were going to take away my energy, you know, like my teacher always said, don't let someone dim your own light for someone else to shine. You know, you have to all shine together. And so I think that's what I've learned over the years from my students, people, you know, my family, friends. And I always been a believer of iron sharpens iron. You can't go out there with a dull sword, so you better get armored up. And the days that you're not a full, whatever, 70 or 80%, then I hope someone brings in the 20. Because when they're 20, I'll bring in the 80, you know? And so I think that's kind of what I always try to preach, or try to advocate, is the counterbalance, the complementary role. Let's complement each other's, assets.
Strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I've never been one to kick someone when they're down, because that doesn't help them. I've always been someone to be like, you can do this, you can rise above it. And the days that I hope my friends do the same for me, you know, when I'm down, mm-hmm. and which they did, like I just mentioned before, I moved this week, and it was being in an apartment for 27 years and your life has built there. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, and you're suddenly your family and your friends come through for you, and you're like, you'll get through this. It's going to get there. And the things you've collected, like you said, you know, our past, like the older generation, I think it's always been their trust, their treasures. And so when they feel it, you know, kind of you're taking it away from you, when you're not, they just get a little alarmed. And that's because they come from a generation of, you know, mm-hmm. from war and, mm-hmm. you know, dictatorship and, you know, bureaucracy. So they're always kind of on guard. So when they come to a country like Canada, who's not so on guard, very free and open, like peace and love, they're like, whoa, wait a minute, what's going on here? And then suddenly,
Canadian ka na.
Canadian ka na. Ano ba yan? Assimilated ka na. And then they go back to the Philippines and they see it, and then they can't wait to come back because of the changes and services that they get here. So it's protection, really, that sometimes the elderly, really why they can't disclose, because they're protecting something so deep.
Yeah, it's survival. It's how they had to survive.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just want to talk about it a little bit, because as you mentioned, because I talked about the immigration process that we always had. And I also work in a law firm where we handle a lot of refugee cases. And when you mentioned that, you know, the older generation flee from dictatorship, and then like their scarcity mentality and survival mentality has always been constant, right? Because we never talked about their trauma, because we don't talk about it, right?
Yeah.
And then they came back in the Philippines and they see how beautiful it is now, like, You know, you can kind of walk outside and not fear for your life and get stabbed. I mean, that's not the case for everywhere, but like, you know, it's different. It's a different generation now, and then now they long to go back in the homeland. And I think it's the same thing for my clients who flee the country because there's a literal war. And then the reception that we receive, that they receive when they come in here, and this is across all immigrant communities, but that reception of not being welcome is it's unfortunate that it's also present in our community that we also try to like break down and unpack. At the end of the day, we're all immigrants in this unceded territory, you know, and what can we do to make it easier for them the same way that other communities before us had made it easier for us to integrate. And I just wanted to point that out because I think it's an important issue that we get.
Absolutely. It's just, it's unfortunately, it's an ongoing issue and it will be like, you know, it's systemic in that very way. Yeah.
I think it's also shocking too, because there's always that idea from the Philippines, it's going to be amazing when you go there. It's going to be awesome when you go there. It's going to be beautiful.
It's more fun in the Philippines.
Yeah. But also like coming to Canada from the Philippines, they're like, oh, you're going to have a better life. You're going to have this and that. So then you coming here is like, oh, it's going to be amazing. But then you get hit with the reality and it's really not that.
Yes.
And it takes a few to cope. It takes a bit to cope with that, to realize, oh crap, it's really not what everyone's dreams are.
Yeah.
You got played.
Yes. Well, that's the misconception, right? That's what I've learned also over the years from not only education, but my travels. People are people. So it doesn't matter where you are. Your emotions are the same. The stories are the same. The struggles are the same. Your environment is the only thing that's different. So exactly what you said, the better life, where is the better life? The better life is going to be what you make of it, wherever you are. It's your environment that you can only change. Your attitude is the only thing you can change, but everything else is structural. Everything else is the same kind of either corruption or system or beautiful tourists attractions, you know what I mean? And so that's kind of what I've learned over the years, is that when people always say, well, it's going to be better because it's Canada. Yes, we might have better services, but it doesn't mean we don't have other struggles that we don't deal with. You know, I was born here Canadian, but they'll always see me Filipino first. So they'll automatically assume either I'm an immigrant or I don't have education or I'm not a professional or all those things. So, because it's visibly, that's what they see. Right. But they don't get to know me before they're like, oh, wait a minute. She has something to say, you know, like she does have something to contribute. And I'm like, well, why would you assume that?
Yeah.
You know, and I think even as an getting older and I'm not married, I don't have children. And oh, don't worry. Why do I project my life that I'm unhappy, that I need that? You know what I mean? And so I think, where it's the same thing everywhere you go, they'll always have a perception of people because that's what they've drawn from their own upbringing and their own realities. And it's not better. It's just different.
Like, it's just different.
Yeah. Like my family in the Philippines, you know, like my, you know, especially my cousins who, you know, they didn't get sponsored over. Right. And then I come over and they're like, oh, I'm the Canadian cousin. And then I'm like, and they assume that you have tons of money in the bank. Mm-hmm. And I remember having a good chat with my dad's nephew. Like my dad provided education for his sister's children. I said, you know, you think I had it better? Well, my father provided your education, whereas I had to work and I had to get a loan and I'm still paying my loan from university. But I understand that my dad had to provide for all three of your siblings. But what, now you live in our aunt's house rent-free, you know? And I remember telling my aunt, like, if that was supposed to be the way of life, then man, I would have moved to the Philippines.
I would have stayed in the Philippines.
You know, like I would move in the Philippines and, you know, wake up to like my garden, wake up to this. And
wake up to the roosters.
Wake up to the roosters, you know?
Not get a call from my boss.
Like, you feel like as if, you know, you didn't have to. And I'm like, and all we're asking is for you to understand that that money could have went to my education, but it went to you instead, you know, and now you're looking at us like as if we're far off and better. Who's to say that your life is not as great, you know? And so the comparison is also detrimental. We envy.
Yeah.
We want what we don't want. We want what we don't have.
And we don't have the full scope. We don't see the full picture.
Yes, right? Like that little parable of like, oh, okay, I'm going to put my little cross in there and then I'm going to pick another cross and then it ends up being like the bigger than, you know, at what you already originally thrown into, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's perspective too.
Yes, it's very much perspective. And I think like it's not only a systemic thing, but also, again, a perspective thing, a communication thing, an understanding thing where we need to talk together. And even if it's not between the generations, it's also between where we are diaspora wise or at home, you know, like the communication and the understanding, the conflicts that we have can be solved through those things. But of course, it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a struggle. And we're going to have to extend radical love to each other in order to be able to get there. I grew up in Katanej also.
Hey,
so Uptown represents. I grew up in Barclay. And so when I heard Dupuy Gang, I was like, yeah, Dupuy Gang. It warmed my heart. Back then, I felt like I didn't fit in because I felt like I wasn't Filipino enough compared to my peers who were born there and spoke the language. So I'm curious to know, in what ways have you been told or felt like you weren't Filipino enough? We also asked this to everyone.
No, no worries. I mean, back then it was a lot different because, like I said, the Filipino community was a lot smaller than what it is now, right? So I would say, actually, it's interesting enough. Probably one of the first interviews I did was Sigaw ng Bayan. We actually had this discussion because it was wow. called Baguhan versus Datihans, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, so it was a good dialogue and good, you know, discussion. At the end, we knew it was because of communication, because, you know, the Baguhan would be like, well, you make fun of us when we talk Tagalog or we talk English because we have an accent. I go, really? Excuse me. So when I talk Tagalog, you say, oh, ang cute naman, bulol, hindi diretso. And then I'm like, and that's not similar? I eat pancit, I eat adobo, my mom's Bicolana, my dad's Ilocano. How does that make me not Filipino? And why do you say just because I wasn't born in the Philippines, I'm not Filipino, you know? And then of course, you know, back and forth, like it was really the fact that because it was the language, really felt the language because they just, you know, mm-hmm. I think when you have an accent coming here, it's always, you know, right away you're, like I said, you'll get treated a certain way. Right. And that's why sometimes Filipinos, why we're so great at telemarketing, because they work so hard at their accent because they don't want to look like they're uneducated. And actually, I have to say this to France, you know, like she really made me think about that, the language thing, because growing up, you know, I had two stepbrothers who were born in the Philippines, well, actually born in Greece, but Filipino, came over, and mm-hmm. I would try to always be like, oh, say it like this. And then France be like, you should let them obviously I share that story. And then France was like, you know, let them celebrate their accent. Let us, and I was like, I never realized, you know, growing up, because you wanted to assimilate to, you know, the Quebec ways, or you're also learning French too, right? So all these different languages, you forget that, you know, oh yeah, they're just trying to learn, right? Because right away you hear the broken English, or you try mm-hmm. to correct, like, no, you don't say it, you say it like this, and this is how you speak. And anyway, so all that to say, you know, it's really understanding the language, because after you're still understood when you go to another country and you don't speak their language. Mm-hmm. All you say the few things and they get it. But we don't make them feel bad for speaking another language. And so I think that's kind of what I learned growing up is why I had to make a lot more effort into speaking Tagalog. And honestly, when I would go to the Philippines, I practiced at the palenque, or I was a mission worker back then. So I would practice in the areas I go to. And it'd be to a point where like the kids would be like, ate, mag-English ka na lang, kasi parang naghihirap ka magsalita. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Or like if I go, para po sa tabi. And they all look at me like, oh, we have a forager here, you know?
But what if I want to learn? What if I want to keep talking and get better at it?
Yeah. And then I guess because of my attitude and who I am in terms of my personality, I make light of it. I make fun of it. I feel like I celebrate, like, well, ganito ang salita ko, but na nakaintindi ka, di ba? And then they'll be like,
period.
Yeah, and they'll be like, oh. And then even in the polite, can go, kung talagang mura dito, babalik ako. And then and then they're like, okay. And I'm like, oy, dagdag mo na yan. Sige na, bueno mano. And then they get more entertained, right? Because that's who we are too as Filipinos. We love to entertain.
We do.
We love to host. We love to be like, you know, showbiz, talaga. You know, like, you know. Video, you know, all those fun stuff. And so I think that's kind of what I've learned also with my Filipino friends from the Philippines, like who were born there.
And now again,
like I said, we're all Barkada, right? Because a lot of the Barkada too they came young, but they were young enough to, you know, not have an accent and feel more Canadian, actually.
Yeah, we also had, we interviewed somebody, I can't remember their name. It's on the tip of my tongue, but they came in and they studied linguistics and they were talking about how you're speaking the same language just because you have a different accent or different ways of saying things. Like, let's say French Canadian and French from France, you're still speaking the same language. It's still French at the end of the day. It's still the same language. So why are we faulting each other for talking a certain way when it's not made to be perfect? So there's still French. It's still Tagalog. It's still English.
You're still understood.
Exactly.
Can I just also interject just a little teeny tiny bit to just put Ate Debbie in a little bit of pedestal?
Oh.
You mentioned that your mom and your dad is like Ilocano and Bicol. So naturally, you would either learn how to speak Ilocano or Bicolano, and yet you're learning Tagalog. So I also want to, like, you know, talk about the Tagalog supremacy, that, like, if you're Filipino, you speak Tagalog, which is not necessarily true. And for you to actually take that moment to learn another language, essentially, because if Ilocano speak, I will not understand. You know,
right?
Like if Bicolano speaks, I will understand because my dad's Bicolano. But I grew up in Manila, so I do speak Tagalog. Right. And for you to actually learn another language and, you know, just like nonchalant be like, para na po sa tabi, like that's confidence overflowing. And I just wanted to point that out to our listeners that, like, it's all about really embracing it because this is still me. Right. Yeah. So I just wanted to point that up before. And then I will let Laura again come in.
I just want to inject before Laura will ask you our last question, because I know we can talk forever. I also just wanted to shout out again for any students, moms, anything, like, just because I've seen you and have known you for all of these years, it's just so refreshing and so freaking cool that you are essentially, your energy is the same from what I remember when I was in grade school. And, like, again, this beautiful message of, and as a mother too, right? And as a mother that strives to create the space for my daughter to always be her authentic self. So again, it's just, you are exactly what I remember. Your energy is exactly what I remember from when we were younger, right? So just a true testament for allowing kids, adults, anybody to be themselves and to let themselves shine. And you said it, like, your light has just shined, right? Because you've always been connected to your authentic self. So I just want to celebrate that and celebrate you and share for whoever's listening to, like, let's do that for each other, basically. Do you know what I mean? Because look at the impact that somebody can create in a lifetime when they are so connected to their authentic self. And then you can be a ninong of over 24 children, you know, like, and then it just has this ripple effect to the community, to the world, and such an amazing legacy that you have created. So just thank you. And just, again, planting that seed for whoever's listening, the importance of, again, letting people just freaking be themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to say. And so the last question, because I know I feel like we're out of time, but can you please share what Kapwa means to you? And I'm going to just, like, add, because I'm new to this work and, you know, only newly reconnecting to the community. And a lot of it is thanks to friends. And I honestly never heard of the word Kapwa right? Mm-hmm. Being a second generation Filipina, I never heard of it and only learned about it recently. So can you please share what kapwa means to you and maybe just some plant some seeds of wisdom for anybody that might not know what kapwa is or might not fully understand it?
Oh, it's a deep word. And that's the beautiful thing about the Tagalog language. There's so many words that are so deep. Like when you hear kapwa, it's like bayanihan. It's like Pinoy pride. It's like rooted. You know what I mean? You're rooted in your culture, your heritage, your inheritance from your ancestors, all those things. And kapwa is just this beautiful armor of Filipinohood. If I can just kind of put it in one short kind of meaning, it's deep. Yeah. It's our armor because it's, you know, even saying it. And then I think of all the things we've gone through as people, as Filipino people, and I've traveled the Philippines quite a bit. So I've seen many things that has been so deep rooted, and kapwa is roots. Kapwa is roots because we are all connected. Like big trees, we are all connected, giving each other life and giving each other source of life.
Well, that's a mic drop. Like the first few words was like mic drop. And then you just kept on dropping like invisible mics every time you talk to me. And that will be the soundbite that we're going to use to share this interview. So thank you, Ati Debbie, for being here. Thank you for being you. Thank you for all that you do for the community, the elders, the youth, and for bridging everybody together. We have to have you back on. And thank you all for those of you that are still listening. Thank you for listening. Please tune in next Wednesday on Radio Kapwa on CKUT 90.3 FM. Have an amazing afternoon, everyone.
Mabuhay!
Mabuhay!
Want some, I get some, no later. I woke up and baked dead potato. Got cop shit, me for major. But I stay me, not mediocre.
Look up and tell me what you see, oh Gucci. But the real question is, it's really me. A movie's definitely not my reality. Cause you'll see, model me ill.
Got theory.
Yeah, I'm gonna see you later. Fucking up a school of shower.
Basta makakakita ng ginto.
Di ko na kailangan lumunok ng bato. Hindi maladana to. Aandar ang makina ko. Tanging mekaniko. Ayako nga ng money ko. Sa daming pinagdaanan, nagpatong ng istoriko. Soso mga chismoso, ligat pumanik na rito.
Di naman talaga madali. Aminin ko pa manonde. Sa likod ng mga takong bagi pe. Kaya maran kong hapiti. Palisto, laging nalisto. Kahit pa si Mephisto. Tignan pag nag-base mo. The base ko.
No rush, I can do this all day. No rush, in the form and solid, till it go away. The harder I work, the harder I play. Walang home goals, I can sell back a hundred way. Ito na nga, wala na magdadadada. Pag ako ng mga diretso sa kababababa. Ako ay galing sa lupa. Kahit pilitin yung mukha, hindi mo makukuha.
Yeah, I know this isn't over.
Bye.
sa magdugo. Hindi ko basta-basta makakakita ng gento.
Gento, 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 gento.
Ah! Gento! Ano ba yung para gento? Ano ba yung gento? Inayo. Ano ba yung gento para gento? Hindi ko
basta-basta makakakita nito.
Good afternoon. We are back and you are listening to Radio Kapwa on 90.3 FM every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Before the music break, we interviewed Debbie Resurrection, and now we turn to our regularly scheduled news segment, which is normally presented by John Marvin Reyes, but I'll be filling in for him today. And if you aren't familiar, I go by Fenny Cristo. So, anong balita for today? Well, the Philippines says the ship was damaged in South China Sea incident with Chinese boat. The Philippine Coast Guard, also known as the PCG, has said one of its boats suffered, quote, minor structural damage, end quote, as Chinese ships tried to block a resupply mission in the South China Sea in the latest confrontation in the disputed waters. Jay Tariella, the PCG spokesperson, said the incident took place early on Tuesday morning near 2nd Thomas Sol, where a small group of sailors had been living on board the Sierra Madre warship since it was grounded nearly 25 years ago. He shared videos and images on X, formerly known as Twitter, showing a Chinese ship cutting across the bow of the Philippine resupply ship and the crew rushing to drop a buoy between the vessels. The PCG ships were accompanying the resupply boats. He says the PCG vessels faced dangerous maneuvers and blocking from Chinese Coast Guard vessels and Chinese maritime militia. Tariella wrote on the social media platform, adding that the resupply mission was continuing. The reckless and illegal actions led to a collision between MRRV-4407 and China Coast Guard 21555 that resulted in minor structural damage to the PCG vessel. China's Coast Guard said it had taken regulatory actions against Philippine ships in the area, accusing them of entering the waters illegally. Tensions in the South China Sea have risen over the past year, with Manila accusing Beijing of taking dangerous actions against its boats and lodging multiple diplomatic protests. Second Thomas Shoal, known as Anyulian Shoal by the Philippines and Renai Zhao by China, lies about 200 kilometers, also 124 miles from the western Philippine island of Palawan and more than 1,000 kilometers from China's southern Hainan Island. The Philippines is one of several Southeast Asian countries that claim parts of the South China Sea, while Beijing claims the waters almost in their entirety. In 2012, China seized control of Scarborough Shoal after a months-long standoff, and the Philippines took its case to the Permanent Court of Arbitration in The Hague, which found China's claims had no legal basis. Beijing has ignored the ruling. This article was written and published on March 5, 2024 on Al Jazeera. Well, that's it for this week's news update segment. We are going to take a little music break, and I'll be back with the community announcements.
Hey yo, Laura here. I just wanted to shout out Fenny for filling in for our Under the Weather John Marvin. And also to let y'all know that the first song we played in this episode is called Gento by SB19. And the special reason for why I came on the air is to present this next song that was just released yesterday and titled Tell Me by a band so close to my heart called Kama. So huge shout-outs to Chulbin, the bassist, Alberto, the guitarist, whose birthday it was yesterday. So everybody say happy birthday, Alberto! And Kyla, my Filipinx queen, longtime friend, co-producer for the Radyo Kapwa jingle, which not a lot of people know about, but we gotta name that. And the wonderful drummer and vocalist and composer and writer of Kama, Michaela Lorraine Aquino. I am your forever fan and friend. So without further ado, this is Tell Me by Kama, available on all streaming platforms. A Montreal indie band worth seeing live and also worth listening to. So what are you doing? Go save that. Up next is a song by Rinnie, very well known and loved. It's called 4 Days and it's the last song on today's playlist. After that, Fenny will be back with this week's community announcements. So I hope you enjoy. This is 4 Days by Rinnie.
Hungry for you, so what do you say? Yeah, I'm telling you honestly, I want you all the time. I love to hear that you're mine.
Say
Once again, we are back from the music break, and if you are just joining us, you are listening to Radio Kapwa on 90.3 FM CKUT, which runs every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. This is Fenny Cristo, and I'll be sharing some community announcements with you, so mark your calendars, and on y va. First off, Wednesday, March 13, and Friday, March 15, P10 is hosting the first part of Writing Out Loud, facilitated by Harar Hall, also known as Gold Tinted Glasses _ on Instagram, from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. at 10138 Rue La Jeunesse Suite 301 for young adults ages 18 to 25. This two-part writing and spoken word workshop series, designed and facilitated by Harar, will help youth harness their sensory and lived experiences into spoken word pieces. For more info, visit their Instagram page at QueerArtsP10 and P10 Montreal. The next day, tomorrow, Thursday, March 14, catch Centre Kapwa member Deanne Louise Cinardo, also known as Fried Chicken Vixen on Instagram, providing a woodworking workshop for young adults age 18 to 25 years old from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. at P10, the same place as the last announcement, which is at, again, 10138 Rue La Jeunesse Suite 301. For more info, visit their Instagram pages at Fried Chicken Vixen and QueerArtsP10. Now, starting March 15 to 16, Black Symposium Noir will be held at Maison de la Culture Côte d'Ivoire. The conference program features selected paper presentations and roundtables grounded in this year's theme, Black Radical Thought and Praxis in Montreal. Stay tuned to be in the know. Also, this Saturday, March 16, we are doing our monthly Kapwa Walk for us to explore, connect, and move for our mental health. This month, we'll be exploring the NDG neighborhood and meeting at Metro Vendôme at 10 a.m. To sign up, check out our Instagram page at Centre Kapwa. Me personally, I love this event. We do it every month, and I've actually never been to NDG, so, you know, I'll definitely be attending this event. Also, that same day, this Saturday, 2 p.m. at Café Viger, 420 Avenue Viger East, Arbre de Voyageur is hosting Réussite Antilles-les, Feminism, Migration, et Resilience, an afternoon of enriching exchanges, sharing experiences, and celebration of women's empowerment, featuring Mary Aline and other exceptional speakers. For more info and to register for this free event, visit their Instagram page at Arbre Voyage. Fast forward a few days on Tuesday, March 19, Feel the Music by Learning How to Write a Song in this next workshop with Naika Champagny for young adults ages 18 to 25 years old from 5 to 7 p.m. at, again, P10 at 10138 Rue La Jeunesse Suite 301. To register, visit their Instagram page at QueerArtsP10. Now, mark your calendars and events to look forward to. These events, which are a bit ahead, March 23, Black Mental Health Connection and Vent Over Tea are hosting Community Care as Power, which is an interactive panel discussion exploring mutual aid as a form of community care through the lens of innovative local community organizations. Attendees will be invited to break into groups to reflect, connect, and engage in meaningful discussions. It will take place at Centre Culturel Georges Vanier, Salle des Jardins, which is at 2450 Rue Workman, the second floor from 3 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. For more info, you can visit their Instagram page at VentOverTea and BMHCMTL. At the end of the month, March 29, you can join Montreal LGBTQ plus Community Centre at 6:30 p.m. for a free self-massage workshop where you can learn the specific point on your body to quickly release tension and feel soothed. Involve Youth, which is La Jeunesse Engagée Involve Youth on Instagram, has invited Bruno Dufresne, a certified massage therapist and artisan, to lead two holistic healing workshops in the month of March. Spaces are limited to only 15 participants. For more info, visit their Instagram page at Jeunesse Engagée Involve Youth. And the LGBTQ plus Community Center's Instagram is CCLGBTQ+. And finally, registration for NDG Porch Fest 2024 is now open. This fest takes place May 18 and 19, and registrations are now open for Balcon Fête NDG 2024. Although it's not necessary to live in the NDG district to participate, musicians must find a residential address in the district for their performance. And that's it for the community announcements. Hopefully, there was something there for you. Myself, I'll definitely be going to that Copper Walk in NDG, and I'm also interested in the NDG Porsche Fest. So maybe I'll see you there. Don't be afraid to say hi if you see me. Anyway, this is the end of our show. Magandang hapon sa'yo. And remember to tune in again next week, Wednesday, at 2 to 3 p.m. on 90.3 FM CKUT. This is Fanny Cristo signing out. Peace et au revoir.
It contains strong language in some adult situations. Discretion is advised.
All the Way Live Radio, CKUT, 90.3 FM, every single Wednesday from 3 to 5. This is Pro V. Thank you very much for tuning in. Hope you enjoy the show. We're going to throw it back this week with a show that was done almost 10 years ago, right after Sean Price passed away, unfortunately. And so we did a show that was 2 hours of Sean Price, and it's about that time again to give Sean Price, you know, some time on the show. And you know, one of the best rappers ever. If you go through his discography, if you go through his work, you shall not disagree.